Well, it was a long day, a couple of days, but today was a long day. Happy the way that it transpired. I think we added some really interesting, good developmental players, some guys that can come in and help us right away, and some guys that, like, looking out, you know, I think we'll be looking back and saying, hey, these guys really helped our team.
Man, they did help the team. 11 picks between days 2 and 3, and we thought maybe the Ravens would use some of those picks to leverage some things. They just ran full speed ahead, Ed.
Yeah, they did, man. A little surprised, but pleasantly surprised in some ways. I just thought it was a good draft for them.
Jeremy?
Filled some needs.
I think look, we say the same damn thing every time. I told you, this is the most boring team to talk about the draft because they do such a great job. You never really know. This is the first year where a lot of us were like, hey, Malachi Starks makes sense, and he falls right there. And then you start seeing some of the other stuff, and you're going, well, he's not coming here because of the two sexual assault. Oh, he slid in the draft, and they did take him. It's interesting because that guy could have easily been a first-round pick, and I know you loved him, the kid out of Marshall.
I did. Yep.
But then everything I'm reading, there's always some draft pundit expert that's like, oh, man, that's my favorite player that no one was talking about. And guess who drafted him?
Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
Whether it was the linebacker from Cal, you know, even the running back they picked up as an undrafted free agent that had, 30-some touchdowns on 100-and-some carries. Like, so you get yourself a battering ram. Even if it doesn't work out, they drafted a kicker, so they're at least showing you the direction that they're planning on going in, at least in my opinion. I love what they did. I thought you filled a lot of holes. They didn't get themselves a big D tackle. We normally see them draft a couple of those guys, but a project offensive lineman, another one that can come in and play right away.
Are you talking about Emory Jones is the project?
No.
Oh, because I like Emory Jones.
Emory Jones is going to be – he said it'll be an honor to block for Lamar. By the way, the kid Booker that the Cowboys got, that guy's something else, and now I know why he was one of the top guys on the Ravens board. The more and more you hear him interviewed, it's like, oh, I like him.
You said it. I think the guy was from Vitek, is it Peebles?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll kind of put a circle around him, see what he'll come out. That's how he'll end up.
I mean, again, some of these guys might just be projects. It was kind of interesting to see how everything fell with the players that people know, the running backs that we had talked about, the wide receiver run that went on. This was a heavy, heavy offensive lineman draft. And you kind of saw that in the first couple of rounds.
Dellinger at the last pick in the 7th round. Mm-hmm. It's funny because watching LSU football, you hear his name a lot, and you wonder, man, this guy's a 7th-round draft pick. And I know college offensive line is completely different from the NFL, but then I read up on him, and he was who I thought he was. He had 30 career starts at LSU. That's a lot of starts.
That's a lot of starts.
Yeah.
College.
LSU, including 24 at left guard. So, I don't know. It's he only got flagged twice. And just under 2,000 snaps, 1,937 snaps.
Really?
He only got flagged twice. Yes. When you start reading this guy's resume, you're like, why is he a 7th-round pick?
That's pretty impressive stuff, actually. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And again, when you watch LSU games, Jeremy, you hear his name a lot. He makes some key blocks for the running backs and quarterbacks rolling out. And I knew his name instantly when they drafted him. I'm like, man, he fell to the 7th. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me there's some injury history or something, because I didn't think he'd be a first-round pick by no stretch of the imagination, but maybe 4th or 5th. I didn't think 7th.
I think sometimes with the interior line, like, you know, we talked to, was it McCusick last week? I know doing the draft day show with Vinny, kind of talking about some of these players, like he did the draft breakdown of Booker, so that's where you really got to learn quite a bit about him.
Right.
But with some of these other offensive linemen, like, if you're an interior lineman and your position is only guard, you better be amazing at it
right.
to get drafted high. I mean, in the first round, like, mm-hmm. you have to be special. And we've seen some of those guys that have come through. But at the same extent, I think a lot of these guys slip because you feel like it's almost like slot receivers, the way that they were judged in years past. Is like, oh, you can get that guy in any round. Go ahead and take him in the 3rd. Even if he can't play outside, then we don't need to take him high. And then now the league's changed where every position's important on offense.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about the Carson Vincent guy? I think he's the only HBCU kid in the draft.
Is he really?
If I'm not mistaken, I read that somewhere. He's the guy from Alabama A&M, the offensive tackle.
That's the project. It's a developmental offensive tackle. Again, his size is ridiculous. You know, and what was it here? His wingspan was measured at 84 3/8 inches. It's the fourth largest among all offensive linemen at the combine. His wingspan's on par with LeBron James. So, again, you've got a project here. We'll see. That's, and I think they had it. They, and the Ravens always do this. They're going to come away from their draft, and they're going to have four or five players from that draft that stay here for a while, play their first 4 or 5 years here, maybe get an extension, and then they got to make the decision of who they want to keep. There's going to be somebody or maybe one or two guys that are undrafted that they get their hands on and bring in. But I love the fact that it feels like they've got some project guys, guys to work on, and then guys that can come in and play right away. So it's a nice little mixture, but they do this every year.
Panther Creek High School in Cary, North Carolina. I know that high school. Yeah, all right.
And the other one, Bilal Kone, the kid from Western Michigan. Forget who it was. I don't know if it was Todd McShay or one of the other draft pundits were like, I love this kid, and it's a perfect fit for Baltimore. I don't know how many times they can say Kone, the cornerback out of Western Michigan. What do you think is related to me? Do you think it was Khan?
No, I thought it was Cone. Kone.
Yeah, but
Bilal Kone?
Yes.
All right. I hope they have to get used to his name. They got a kicker like we all thought they would. Tyler Loop from Arizona.
He looks like a kicker.
Yeah.
He's skinny and white.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. The Ravens told us there was a zero tolerance policy, right? You draft the kid in the second round, albeit the second round. He should have been the first rounder, Mike Green, who has a checkered pass. Meanwhile, you got a kicker who's under investigation as well. What happened to that zero tolerance?
Talented, right, Ed?
No, well, there's that. But, I mean, they said they did their due diligence. I mean, just because you're accused doesn't mean it actually happened. I mean, he was never charged, and they went back. I mean, they have a whole investigative staff.
But was it two separate schools that he was?
High school. One was high school, one was college.
Yeah.
If they did their due diligence, he was graded a first rounder by 32 teams, and he fell almost out of the second round. So if they did their due diligence and there's nothing there, then why did he fall to the end of the second round?
I don't know. I'm just going to what they said.
Yeah,
I mean, that to me, if I did my due diligence on a guy and everything is clean and he's supposed to be a first round pick, he's not falling to the back of the second round.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Well, and again, I want to know too, like, yeah, talk about doing your due diligence. It's one thing when a guy's extremely talented and another thing when a guy's going to get passed up because he didn't have the best year of his life, and now he's getting accused of sexual assault and Justin Tucker. These are accusations, though. It's the same thing when you're bringing them in, and the fact that it happened at two separate schools, I don't know if this is two separate incidents. You get what I'm saying? One happened in June. The other one happened 2 years later.
It happened in high school.
What I'm saying is, did somebody come forward and somebody else then?
This is what happened. Something happened in high school. Virginia took a fly on him. But he wasn't really productive.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused at Virginia of something. And because he wasn't productive anyway, they said, we had a zero tolerance on this. We said, one strike, you're out. They booted him out. He ended up at Marshall.
The best thing is that on draft day, what was it, day two, when they were talking about him, everybody had him going to the Bengals because he's got a red flag. Everyone's like, man, the Bengals really wanted this guy. And
I'm not saying the kid did it or not. I'm just saying for a kid that was on everybody's first round board, who fell almost, if the Ravens don't get him, does he go third round? I mean, pick number 59, you're almost out of the second round.
Yeah.
I'm just, what made him, if you did your due diligence and he's clean, then why did he fall almost two rounds? Let's go to Trey and Joppa. What's up, Trey?
Well, morning, fellas. Morning.
Good morning.
Definitely like the draft pick, starting with Starks. I mean, I wanted to pass rusher, but I'm happy with Starks. Like Jeremy said, after hearing him talk and everything.
You got to pass rusher. You got to pass rusher.
We got
in the second round, yeah.
Absolutely. That's my favorite pick of the draft, to be honest. I think he's going to bring something to the defense. I think he's going to bring some charisma to the defense that we ain't really had since Suggs, to be honest with you. Personality.
I got to be honest with you, Trey. I love the Starks pick because, and that was my pick because I thought Mike Green was off the board. But I'm with you. Mike Green is my favorite pick.
Yeah. I think he's going to bring an edge to us, man. I think he's going to be hungry and motivated, too. I mean, guess what? Sometimes everybody needs a second chance. And I think I'm believing in him. I'm taking a shot on him. You know what I mean? Just like the Ravens did. I'm thankful they did. They thought outside the box a little bit with it, and they took a chance. I called in last week on a different show, and I was like, Harbaugh, you're a leader of men. That's another way for Harbaugh to earn another feather in his cap of, developing character a little bit along the way. Like, everybody don't have to come in being a so-called choir boy. Let's see if you can develop somebody. So I love the pick. Like you said too, Rob, the people's pick. I think that's a sneaky pick. Look at some tape on him. Quick defensive tackle, a little undersized, but, probably, later down the road, he might be able to help us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, Ed, can I piggyback off that call?
Yeah.
And I don't care about everybody needing no second chance. I got to be honest with you, bro. I'm not worried about any of that. Play ball. It's not my job to police him. It's not. We hit that, and if the Steelers had drafted him, we'd criticize him. If the Bengals had drafted him, Jeremy said, well, that's what they do. They get red flag guys. So I'm not going to change my narrative because the Ravens drafted him. I'm going to admit, I just want him to get sacks. All that other stuff, that's up for the Ravens to police him, not my job.
Yes, but I tell you what, I will change my narrative because the Ravens drafted him, only because of this. I just think they're a better organization than most. I think they're one of the top five organizations in the NFL. I know most of the security staff. It's a lot of them work for me in either the state or city. The head of the security team now is a former Secret Service agent, former NYPD. I met all these guys pretty squared away, and I have a lot of faith in DaCosta. So I don't know the people from who work for Cincinnati or the Browns, but just knowing the Ravens, I'm like, yeah, they know what time it is. They know what they got going on, with Tucker and all these other things.
That's what I was gonna say. I mean, having said all of that, we thought Tucker was squeaky clean, and where we are right now, I'm not that all of that narrative of everybody needs a second chance and all that. I don't know if everybody does, but I do know he's a heck of a football player, and I hope he shows up here in Baltimore.